see what a change he has made in our lives. And so coming together like this, excuse me, helps to facilitate that. It helps to strengthen us again, and it gives us an outlet. Sometimes we just need to be among other believers where we can just let go and let God, you know. Amen. Because we expect those in the household of faith to understand. You know, the people in the world, they're not going to understand. They may tolerate it. They may accept it. They may mock it. They may make fun, but they can't understand it. When you come to the household of faith, you expect to be among people who just understand. They understand what you're going through. They understand how you feel. They understand how much joy you have because they have joy in Christ. They have a better understanding of this faith walk, what it means to be a child of God and what it means to be on a journey, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the successes and the failures, you know, the triumphs and the shortcomings. They understand that we're in a long run, that we have to persevere. And so it's good to be around people of like precious faith. Amen. Or it should be. That's one reason we should come to the household of faith, and that's one reason we should be constantly maturing in Christ so that the climate, the atmosphere will be the way God has designed it. And so that we can find support and we can find the encouragement while we are at the throne of grace, receiving the help and the grace we need in our times of trouble. So let's keep encouraging each other. Let's keep being patient one with another as we persevere to see, as the saints used to say, to see what the end's going to be as we run this race with patience that's been set before us. And let's be forgiving one to another and encouraging each other. The Bible says, while it is today, let's encourage each other. God is faithful. God is with us. God is on our side. God is for us. And because of this, we're going to make it. How many believe you're going to make it? You're going to make it. The songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. But it was grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. We are going to make it. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Praise God. To God be the glory. So we're here with each other being strengthened in Jesus' name. Give me a few minutes or a few more minutes, and then... And then we'll be done. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your superabounding, amazing, Lord, unmerited favor and blessing. Thank you, God, because you are always with us, even at this present time. And we honor your presence in this place. Open up our understanding to receive what you have prepared for us today. Guide my thoughts and my speech and my words that I will say what you have released to be said to your people today. Again, we love you and thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible lets us know in John chapter 10, very familiar passage of scripture, the 10th verse, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, overflowing, superabounding life. We quote this scripture often because it reminds us that there are two two things going on at the same time, two entities at work at the same time. The enemy, Satan, our adversary, is at work with an agenda to steal, to kill, and to destroy God's people and all of humanity. But God is working, and God is the one who is all powerful, and he has prepared and designed for his people a life that's not average, that's not ordinary, but a super life, an abounding life, an overflowing life, a good life, a wonderful life that Jesus said to them and says to us, he's come that we might receive it, that we might have it. Remember, he had not been crucified yet. And so that life that he spoke to them about had not been released to them yet. But he told them about it so that they could aspire to it, so that they could look for it, so that they could begin to hope for it. And when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that same thing occurring. This morning, the church school talked about the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, which was a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You remember that, starting at the beginning of verse 5, going all the way to the end of chapter 5, all the way to the end of chapter 7, where he concludes admonishing them to build their houses on a rock, a firm, sure foundation, not on the sand that's shifting beneath, so that when trials and testings come, their houses, their lives that are built on the rock will stand and withstand and still be standing after the tests have passed. And all of this, like I mentioned in John chapter 10, brothers and sisters, was aspirational. Jesus was casting this before them so they could begin to think about it, meditate on it, and desire it. So he shared the truth of God's kingdom, the blessedness of the right attitude, instructions of the life that he had for them. He talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about a perfect system that God had designed for humanity so they could begin to hunger and thirst for it. They didn't have it yet, but he was presenting the concepts, the notions of it. He was presenting those truths so that they could, he could create in those a desire to have it. I want to think about that, because folks, people have been duplicating that forever. Every time you see an advertisement on TV or hear one on the radio, they're seeking to produce in you a desire for something you weren't even thinking about. You weren't even thinking about it until you heard the commercial. You weren't thinking about it until somebody said it. You weren't thinking about it till you heard the jingle. You weren't thinking about it till you heard that hook that they paid people millions of dollars and a lot of money to create so that they can capture our imagination. Jesus wanted to capture their imaginations, to see something better, to see a life that was greater than what they had been experiencing and what going along that same course of life held for them. So he cast a vision of the kingdom of God and the love of God and a plan that God had for all humanity that would put their trust in him. A plan to save them and to give them a life that they could not have by any other means than what Jesus, the bread of life, was going to give them. And he whet their appetites for it. And he created a hunger and a thirst for it so that they would no longer be satisfied with the status quo. They would not be satisfied with the system that they were in. See, sometimes, folks, in order for us to move from where we are, we have to be stirred a bit. Somebody has to either offer us something better, or we have to be stirred through some unrest or something that's unsettling that tells me it's time to move. Because we have the ability to get comfortable where we are. Doesn't matter that the roof is leaking. I'm comfortable where I am. Doesn't matter that the floor is leaning and uneven. I'm comfortable where I am. It doesn't matter that the plumbing doesn't run like it should. The water doesn't always get hot. Doesn't matter that I have to put plastic on the windows because it's so cold out. Sometimes we can just get comfortable where we are. And something has to happen to stir us to the place where I'm no longer comfortable here. I'm comfortable in this job. I know I'm being mistreated. I know I'm being underpaid. I know I'm being undervalued, but I'm comfortable. But thank God, because he has something so much better for us, he begins to present us with a vision from his word, either spoken or written, revealed, that creates in us a hunger and a thirst for something more. For something better, for something good, for something righteous, for something godly. That's what Jesus did during his earthly ministry here. And that's what he instructed his preachers, his disciples to do as well. I want you to go and paint the picture. I want you to go and show them what my kingdom is like. I want you to offer to them something that the world cannot offer them. And this isn't hyperbole. This isn't a bait and switch. I want you to offer them something that's so wonderful, so great, so amazing that they would be ignorant or foolish to turn it down. Amen. So that's what God did through Jesus. That's what he did through the disciples. He showed them, I want you to walk this thing out. I want you to live this thing by example so that there's some weight behind it, because people are not just hearing the words, but they're seeing the proof. They're seeing the evidence. Amen. That's what testimonials were designed to do. They put people on TV giving their testimony. I tried this product. I didn't think it was going to work. But then I got it home and I tried it, and it was amazing. Everybody should run out and get it. Amen. And folks run out and get it. Then they get it home and it doesn't work like it did on TV. But the Bible says, whoever trusts in the Lord shall not be disappointed. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman, the person that trusts in him. When we try God for real and put our trust in him, we will not be disappointed. He will never let you down. Why am I saying this morning? Because God wants his people, folks, to really begin to grab a hold to what he's doing and what he's saying and embrace it by faith with an expectation that I will receive what's been promised. I will receive what's been promised. And the first thing, and they got the light on me again. That's all right. And I want us to just think about this. One of the most precious promises that God has given to his people is that he is with us always, even until the end of the age. And one of the most precious gifts that he's given to us, that he's given to all humanity, but especially to his people, is the gift of today. the gift of today, and even more specifically, right now. He's given us today, and he's given us this moment of time that we will never have again, and it is precious. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants to steal it. So I'm giving you a couple of things, just some practical things. Then we'll deal with a couple of spiritual applications. Then we'll be done. God has given us this day. Right? The psalmist, one of Miss Davis's favorite verses that she says all the time from Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. A simple psalm, a simple truth, but a powerful gift and revelation. God has given me this day. And with this day, God has given me every provision, every resource, everything I need to live victoriously, successfully in this day, to enjoy this day, to be glad in this day, to celebrate this day, to appreciate this day, to use this day to my advantage, to accomplish everything that God wants me to accomplish this day. But Satan wants to steal this day. So from the time we get up in the morning, Satan has already designed, I'm going to have them frustrated. I want them to be distracted. I want them to be worried. I want them to be preoccupied. I want them thinking about yesterday. I want them thinking on the failures of yesterday so that they can lose the blessing of today. I want them remembering and lost in the past so that they cannot benefit from the present. And if I can't keep them in the past, then I want them to worry about tomorrow or Wednesday or next Friday or 2 weeks from now or 6 weeks from now. Anything I can do to stop them from seizing the blessing of today. And you all read it in the responsive reading, this portion, but we are not ignorant of his devices, or we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Huh? He wants to steal it. He wants to take it. He wants you to lose the blessings of the day. Stuck in the past or worried about the future. So God seeks to remind his people, no. No. Don't worry about the future. He didn't say don't prepare for it. He said don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. He takes care of the birds of the air. He has beautifully arrayed the flowers, more beautiful than Solomon in his finest regalia. He says, don't worry about those things. Those are the things that the Gentiles seek after. God's trying to help us stay in the moment. He's trying to help us trust him to provide and supply our needs. He's trying to help us seize the blessings of today. So if I can promise you that I got you, if I can promise you that I already know what you need even before you pray. If I can promise you that I already know the end of a thing before it begins. If I can promise you that I take care of the birds of the air, I take care of everything, and I'm going to take care of you, maybe you will trust me and you will enjoy this day. Yes. Yes. Too distracted. Too worried. Too caught up in something that I have no control over other than what I could do today. Ah, you need to get that one. Because I'm worried about something tomorrow, next week, 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now. I'm worried about my retirement. I'm worried about am I going to have enough at the end of July. Remember, it doesn't start till tomorrow. And I'm already worried about it and August and September and when winter comes and next 2000. I'm worried about stuff. But instead of worrying about it, what if I took today and sought God for my today and let God begin to prepare me and set things in place. By the time that day gets here, God has already done something to prepare me for it. See? That's why the word says, don't worry, pray. That's why we've been coming to pray. He said, don't worry, pray. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Because my prayers today can fix and prepare stuff that might would arise 2 or 3 weeks from now. My prayers today can change some things that were supposed to happen next week. My prayers today could fix some problems. So God says, don't worry about it. Talk to me about it. He's trying to help us today. Because the truth is, tomorrow, as folks says, never comes. It really doesn't. It's a cliche. It's a statement, but it's true. Tomorrow never comes. Because as soon as tomorrow approaches, it becomes today. Right? As soon as you transition to that midnight, it becomes today. And if I'm ever gonna do it, I need to do it today. If I'm ever gonna change some things, I need to start today. If it's ever gonna get fixed, I need to fix it today. If we ever gonna get over, we need to start it today. If I'm ever gonna break through, I need to break through today. If I'm ever gonna turn it around, I need to turn it around today. If I'm ever gonna get my family straight, I need to get it straight today. If I'm ever gonna get healthy, I need to get healthy today. If I'm gonna get out of debt, I need to get out of debt today. Whatever I need to do, this is the day that the Lord has made. And the first thing I'm gonna do is rejoice. And I'm gonna be glad in it. Because God has given me everything that I need for today. Good God Almighty. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Folks, all of us got a past. But we can't live in the past. We need to live in today. What am I going to do today? How am I going to represent God today? How is my attitude going to be today? How am I going to serve Him today? today? How am I going to represent the kingdom today? How am I going to bless my family today? It's got to be today. It's got to be today. Can't be any other day. It has to be today. And the good part about it, we are constantly making decisions today. We're making choices. We make hundreds of them, sometimes thousands of them, during the course of a day. From the time we get up to what time I'm going to get up, what I'm going to do when I get up, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do first, what I'm going to do next, where am I going, what I got. We are constantly making choices and decisions, and we make them today. And we make them every day. And what God wants to do is to begin and continue to inform his people that with this day, you need to be seizing it by using it the way I have designed for you to use it, to be blessed and to be a blessing. Not wasting the day. Not squandering today. And not allowing the enemy to use us today to advance his will. And his agenda. And his purposes. But to be used by God today. Does that make sense? Sister B quoted some weeks ago one of her favorite scriptures that she learned years ago. And she quoted it so eloquently and so beautifully and right on. I think it was Deuteronomy chapter 30, wasn't it, Sister B? Where God, through Moses, told the children of Israel that today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, now I want you to choose life. In fact, he said, today I bring heaven and earth to record this. In other words, earth, heaven and earth was recording the choice that they were going to make today. And brothers and sisters, I believe that heaven and earth is still recording the choices and decisions that we make with this day. He says, if you choose life, which I'm telling you to choose, you're going to live. Your descendants are going to live, huh? You and your descendants shall live as you love the eternal, your God. You know, you're going to live in this covenant that I swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. So we have choices with this day. And we can choose and make decisions that's going to bless us and our descendants for generations. Or we can choose and make choices and decisions that can open us up and expose us to curses that can continue and continue until it's broken by somebody who trusts the Lord, who accepts Jesus and refuses to allow their family to be in bondage. Now, we sung the song this morning, I Hear the Chains Falling. And break every chain. And we declared that God has set us free. And we also said, now be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage by decisions and choices that we are going to make today. In this place, right now, when we leave this place today, and when we go wherever we're going, when we leave this place today, what choices and decisions are we going to make? Are we going to make godly choices and decisions that will bless our descendants? Or are we going to make twisted, wicked, corrupt, foolish, ungodly decisions that are not only going to hurt us, but that are going to hurt our family and generations to come and others that have been connected to us? God has given us the gift of this day. But then he tells you what to choose. He says, choose life. Choose life. And what life? The life that Jesus said, I came to give you. The good life, the abundant life, a godly life, eternal life, overflowing life, a life of favor, of blessing, of provision, of protection, of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Ghost. Choose that life. A life of security, a life that even though you go through, I'm there with you. Even though you have to deal with trials and testings, I'm there with you. And I'm going to make you stronger through the process, that when you come out, you'll be able to stand strong and know that another victory has been won for the kingdom of our God. What you going to do with this day? Because God says, I've given it to you. And I've given it to you as a gift. And I've blessed it. And I've provided everything in it that you and I will need to be successful. To have a good life. Not without testings. Not without trials. Sometimes with persecutions. But it's still a good life because God is with us and he promised us the victory, which is probably my next and possibly the last point with that. With this day, God has promised, like we said, that he is with us. In Ezekiel, time doesn't permit me to go through the whole thing. It's 40 chapters. But just to summarize it, God takes this then priest, Ezekiel, makes him a prophet, and tells and shows Ezekiel the judgment that he's bringing on Judah because of their rebellion. He shows him the glory, the Shekinah, or the Shekinah, depending on how you pronounce it, of the Lord departing the temple and leaving the city, and it shows the pronouncement of the judgments that God gives, first on Judah, and then on some of the other nations and peoples around that had really evil and done evil to the God, to God's people. You remember that Israel has already been in captivity. They've been in captivity for maybe 100 years, perhaps. Somewhere around there, you can check it. But Judah had not gone into captivity yet. And now what's happening is God has judged Judah because he really, in effect, said, you should have learned the lesson from your sister. But you've been more wicked than she. He calls them Sodom. Say, you've been more wicked than she's been. And so he pronounces judgment. The glory of the Lord leaves the temple, and he goes through chapter to chapter. You're familiar with a lot of it. Deacon Larry mentioned the 37th chapter the other night in prayer, where he talked about the dry bones in the valley. Then God says, I'm going to restore them. I'm going to restore them. He goes through the process of showing the restoration. Then he shows the Spirit of God returning to the temple of God, the glory returning to the temple, returning to the city, then everybody in their place and inheritance. And then the very last verse of the 48th chapter, verse number 35, I'd like to share the B section of it with you. It says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And he said it from the perspective on the outside looking in. We say from the right perspective, the Lord is here. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. The Lord is present. The Lord is with us. That's what it means. God has promised that he is present. Amen. God has promised that he is here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am where? In the midst of them. God is here. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your presence. in this place. God is here. So the last to the point is, get this, not only seize today, but seize the here. Seize the now. Why are you saying that, Apostle? Because I know us. I know church folks. I know people. We can be here and not be here. I said we can be here physically, bodily, and not be here in our minds, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our spirit. Y'all remember that old secular song? But it has a spiritual connotation. Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. Stop messing me around. Okay, y'all got it? Huh? You got it? So our bodies can be here with God and with God's people, but our minds can totally be someplace else. You know how we do. We're thinking about what I got to do later. I got to go to work. I got to get out of here because I got somewhere else to be. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got this on my mind. I'm in the house of the Lord. God is present. God's people are present. The Holy Ghost is present. Jesus is present. The anointing is present. The power of God is present. But I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. Young people, I encourage you to be here. Not on your phones, on your electronic devices, while the choir's singing, while the preacher is preaching. I'm looking at videos, and I'm playing on this, and I'm doing other stuff. My body is here. But my mind, my attention is somewhere else. And it's not just the young people. You know, adults, we do stuff too. You know, we checking our phone, checking our messages. And I don't mean those that are actually taking pictures and, you know, they're loading stuff up to Facebook. I mean those that are just, you know, they're on the phone, they're checking their messages. You know, they got to go out and run out and get a smoke. And then I'll be back in a few minutes. I hope the preaching ain't over. I got to go get this cigarette in and all this other stuff. They here. But they ain't here. Amen. They're here bodily, but they're not here. Now they might have been here. They might have been here when the choir was singing their favorite song and they were in it and shouting and they were here then, but somewhere they checked out. They ain't tell nobody they were leaving. The preacher looked for them and they were sitting right there where they always sit, but they done checked out. They might have took a nap. They might be saying, I don't know. They might already be on vacation. I don't know. But they done checked out. Folks, let me tell you something. We owe God better than that. And not only that, God wants better than that for us. God wants better than that for us. If you're going to be here, be here. Seize this moment. Take advantage of this time. We miss too many blessings of God because we're somewhere else. See, folks, this is a journey. We're on our way to heaven, on our way to glory. God wants you to enjoy the trip. Don't miss it. If you're going to fly, at least catch a few clouds. I mean, mean, if you're flying, at least look out the window a little bit. See something that you're flying over. If you're driving in the car, or you're on the train, or you're taking a bus, at least see some of the scenery as you travel along the way. Don't sleep the whole trip away. Don't argue with your spouse all the way here and all the way back. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you got a lot of stuff to do at work tomorrow, let tomorrow take care of itself. But I'm going to enjoy and seize this day. Is God speaking to somebody in here today? Somebody that's letting their life just pass them by? Just wasting away, waiting to die? Instead of living in the moment? Knowing that God is here with me, and this is a great opportunity if I don't do anything else but to commune with God. To spend just a little quiet time with God. Cut off the TV, turn off the radio, put down your electronic devices. I'm gonna spend some time with my God. I want some peace. I want some rest. I want some answers. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. It's worth me spending time with God. I want some joy back in my life. I want somebody that loves me and accepts me. I don't want to be ridiculed all day, talked down to all day, talked about. I want somebody that loves me. God loves me. Whew. And he's not condemning me. He gave his life for me. Jesus died for me. So we're finishing this up. God is present. He's here. So he wants you to seize this gift of now. The writer of Hebrews, quoting from the Old Testament, saying, today, when you hear my voice, not if you hear my voice. He says today, when. In other words, God says, I'm speaking. I'm talking. Today, will you hear me? And today, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. I love you so much, I'm talking to you. I've got some wonderful instructions and revelation for you. I've got some plans that's going to bless your socks off. I've got some things that's just going to fill you with so much joy. You're going to be laughing and ain't nothing funny. You might be crying tears of joy and you ain't sad. Ain't nothing wrong. Why are you crying? I'm just so happy in Jesus. I was laughing. Then I started crying. Then I started laughing again. Then I started shouting. Then I ran. Then I just jumped in the floor. I'm just so happy because God has been sharing so many great and wonderful things with me. What about a relationship like that? Well, brothers and sisters, God wants it for us. And he says it as we conclude here. There is more, but we're going to conclude here. Today, when you hear me, listen, don't get hard-hearted. Don't shut me down. You know, don't be rebellious. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't ignore me. He says, but today when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. I'm sharing life with you today. I've got blessings for you today. Got wonderful plans for you today. I want to reveal some things to you about your purpose and your destiny. I want to reveal some things to you that you're going to have to deal with later today. That if you listen to me, I'll guide you and navigate you and show you through and show you how to overcome and how to avoid the pitfalls. You know, they've got these apps now on your phone when you're traveling. They'll show you where the police is. They'll show you where the construction is going on. Come on. Some of them might even show you potholes. I don't know. But they got all kind of stuff now. They'll just show you stuff. But if you ignore it and you run down the road and the police pulls you over, you're hard-headed, stiff-necked. You know, You weren't focusing. You weren't paying attention. Anyway, so much for that example. So brothers and sisters, God just says, listen, I'm talking. So today, I encourage you, seize this day, seize this moment, be present. If I can leave us with anything out of this whole message, is don't let the devil steal your today. Don't let him steal your now. There are some things God wants you to be in the now. Be in the moment. Enjoy every day. Enjoy every sunshine. Enjoy the rain. Enjoy the beauty that God has created. Enjoy fellowshipping with people. I catch myself sometimes. I'm talking to someone, some of y'all, and I apologize. I'm talking to some of y'all, but I can feel myself doing like this because I'm ready to go or I'm trying to ease on. It's nothing with you. It's just I'm distracted. And I catch myself sometimes, and sometimes I have to readjust my position and turn back around and really focus, because if not, I'm there, but I'm not really there. I'm hearing it, but I'm distracted. But if you're going to be there, be there. If you're going to be in a conversation, listen and maybe talk. But certainly listen. And don't just hear, but listen attentively. If you're going to be here, be here. This is the time to come for worship. If you're coming, you took the time to get ready, to get dressed, put on your clothes, you came here. If you're going to be here, be here. Be in the presence of the Lord. Be in the worship. Be in the prayer. Be in the fellowship. Don't lose that opportunity. Don't waste that time. Don't let the enemy steal a chance to be blessed and to be a blessing. Amen. Your relationships, everything. Your day will be brighter. Your attitude, our disposition will be better. You know, we'll have more joy. We'll have more peace. And as the scripture said, they shared today from Romans chapter 12, as much as blithe with us, seek to live at peace with all people. Seek to live at peace with all. You have more peace. Your blood pressure will come down. You have more rest in the Lord. You won't be worried all the time, but you'll know that God is Shammah. He is here. He is present. He is with me. He is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? He's on my side. He's already worked it out. The old song said, while I'm trying to figure it out, He's already worked it out. So to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Great things He is doing today. And great things He will do forevermore. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the